The latest book is Petroglyph, self-published, Ranchos Press.
Yeah.
You know, you read this book, and you're here. You know, no matter where you're reading this book, you're New Mexico. I mean, it's just such a vibrant, visceral feeling of being in place. I mean,
does that come across?
Oh, my God.
Oh, great.
My God.
Well, I guess that's the idea.
The interesting thing is, I come here, and I feel like I already know the place on some level. And it's like, oh, this is what he's talking about. And so so you put the two, and it's been 15 years since I've been to Taos. And, you know, I knew your work. I mean, I knew your work from the few poems that you would have read in the living room at the Taos Poetry Circus. And then since then, you know, I've followed your work because we've become friends.
Right.
So, you know, I read Petroglyph, and it's like, holy shit, this is place. Yeah, I mean,
it's right here, the river right here.
Right here, the Embudo River right behind it. If we open up the window, we'd probably hear it. So, you know, tell us about the story about the Petroglyph and then the inspiration for this latest book.
Oh, well, the cover is a petroglyph that I found. I don't think very many people have ever seen it besides one or two archaeologists that were assisting me and a couple of adolescent intern surveyors of part of the Mesa Prieta petroglyph project that is surveying and archiving some of the more than 40,000 petroglyphs that are around my house here. And it's, you thought it was a frog.
It looks like a frog, doesn't it?
But it's a man.
Yeah.
And it could, or a woman. It could be a woman with that Pueblo hairdo with the big buns on the ears. Yeah. That's about life size. It's about 4 or 5 inches, right? 5 inches by 3 inches. And it's on a huge boulder about the size of a small car overlooking Velarde from a site. We called it Velarde 2. And there are 3 terraces with probably 1,000 petroglyphs collectively and on the 3 terraces, about 300 petroglyphs per terrace, starting at about 200 feet above the highway, then maybe 300 feet above the highway at another terrace. And then about 400 feet above the highway. And it's just, it's probably one of 1,000 petroglyphs that I surveyed during my time with the project. And the most spectacular of them is the Avani, the horned serpent, the mythological, environmental, mythic serpent that represents the I guess the deity of water and earth. And it's spectacular because it's 13 feet high and about 7 feet wide on a cliff face, about 10 miles north of Española on the Mesa Prieta location above the preserve. There's a preserve called Mesa Prieta.
So this would be between Taos and Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Between Taos and Santa Fe, 10 miles north of Española on a cliff face. And it represents what I found through research that is a Mesoamerican archetype that relates to Quetzalcoatl and the Aztecs and Mayans. And to the name of that one up in Seattle?
Sisyutl, something like that, yeah.
The water serpent. Yeah, essentially similar to a dragon in Chinese mythology,
right,
which represents the creative power of earth and the essence of the earth and sky god that provides for the life of the tribe.
You're talking about Corua.
The Corua in this book and. That's the Mexican term. In Pima and Yaqui culture, the Carua is the water serpent. And the water serpent is the, I'll read it here, what is it? A serpent of Pima, Yaqui Indian myth that lives in freshwater springs and rivers and protects them. When the Carua dies or is killed, the water dries up. known as Avanyu in Pueblo cultures and related to pre-Columbian Quetzalcoatl water wind serpent myth of Mesoamerican and Uto-Aztecan cultures. That's the asterisk I have in the book describing what it is. I only discovered this by researching the Avanyu, and I found, just by chance in my research, a monograph about this guy who was going into Mexico, 60 miles south of the U.S.-Sonora border, and was told about the Karua, about a place where the, here it is right here. James Griffith, in Western Folklore of 1990, wrote an article called Meeting the Karua, Quetzalcoatl on the Border, Mestizo Water Serpent Beliefs in the Pimeria Alta, which is the region of my tribal ancestors. My grandparents were Yaqui, Tarahumara, which is the area of Pimeria Alta, a large, I'd say, 10,000 square miles of northern Mexico, southern Arizona. And this guy is an anthropologist who wrote this monograph for Western Folklore in 1990 about encountering people who believed in this mythic figure, and who told him that, oh, you can't go there, that spring is no longer there because somebody killed the Karua. And he goes, what's a Karua? Well, a Karua is a... And that's where I found the information about it. And then I did further research and found it was related to the Avanyu, which is related to this 13-foot-tall petroglyph in above Española, and the whole connection between all of the Mesoamerican and Native American cultures from South America to Alaska, mm-hmm. apparently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it was such a
thrill.
Dense.
It must have been a thrill.
It was a thrill, and it was a very dense subject that I found tremendous meaning in, and so I started writing poems, and that's when you and I were exchanging haibun. You were doing your experimental haibun out of La Serna, and I was doing haibun on the
I'll see Karua. Your snake, and I'll raise you a snake.
I'll raise you a snake, yeah.